Today we celebrate 15 years as a church, and we rejoice in what God has done. You're gonna enjoy the journey today because you're gonna get to hear the stories of a lot of people whose lives have been changed, and see what God can and will do as we turn our lives over to Him. So we're glad you're here, whether it's your first time or whether you've been here for all 15 years. Is there anybody in here that was at the very first service? Anybody? There's one in the back there. Anybody over here? One over here? Okay, man. It's been quite the journey, and we're glad that you're here with us. We're glad that you've gone on this journey of 15 years with us, and today we're going to just brag on God. So that's the whole point of this sermon, is to brag on God today, to celebrate how big He is, miracles that He's done, to thank Him and celebrate all that He's done. So thanks for coming along with us on that journey today. Now, I've been asked many times by people, what is the secret sauce at the river? What is it that God is doing that's changing lives? And I'll tell you, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus and His people praying and asking God to do miracles, praying big prayers, believing God for the impossible. That's been our journey from the beginning. When we started the church, I said, listen, I've been a part of a lot of churches, some good, some not so good. But this time, what if we really go at it with the perspective that we're going to pray and ask God to do something so big that only He can get the glory for it? It can't be like, oh, that guy's a really good preacher. They got really good music. But what if we really went after it and said, God, we want to ask You to do whatever You want to do, and we'll be crazy enough to attempt whatever You put on our hearts to do. And that's been the journey that we've been a part of. We aren't here because of my vision, okay? This vision was put on a couple, David and Jill Horner's heart, almost 20 years ago. I got to be the youth pastor of their kids in Monterey, and then I went out to California, went to seminary, and while I was out there, I graduated, and after I graduated, we planted a church out there. And David and Jill brought some folks from here to help us plant the church, and then they came and visited a couple times, and they said, you know what, Steve, we'd like a church like you got here in Cookeville, in this area. And the idea that everybody feels welcome, everybody can come and be a part, and it's not about what you wear or what you look like on the outside, but what's on the inside. And so we began to pray with them for that church plant, asking God for that church plant, not expecting that God would then speak to my wife in my heart to move back here to do that. And so the picture behind me that's going to pop up, this is their house. This is where we began some 16 years ago with prayer meetings in the house, and we invited people over. We had barbecues, and we just said, we want to believe God for Cookeville. And then from there, we knew we'd need more space, so we began praying for a little meeting space, and then a friend of mine operated the Baptist Student Union building, and so he invited us to come. So we met there for about, 7 months. We went from five of us, there were David, Jill, Melissa, myself, and my mom, and plus our kids. We went from five to about 35 in the BSU over about 6 months. Reached out to a lot of college students, and then from there we began praying for the next place. And excuse me, I got a sneeze. That didn't happen very often. Okay, I think I got it. All right. So anyway, all right. So we were here and we're praying for a location, and we felt like the Lord was telling us to go to Cane Creek Elementary. And we began praying for Cane Creek. I went and met with the superintendent of schools that were here at that time. And he said, you know what, I don't see a problem with that. He said he was in Nashville area, and he said, you know what, we've had schools and churches work together. He said, so you send me the proposal and we'll see what we can do. So we did. We sent in a proposal to rent the building on Sundays and got a nice letter back saying, thank you for your request, but we are not looking to rent to a church at this time. Well, we were confused. We got back together. We prayed again and asked the Lord, Lord, did we mess up? Did we not hear You right? And as we prayed, felt like, nope, it's Cane Creek School. So I said, okay. So we wrote another letter. Said, hey, just so you know, churches meet in schools all over the country. It's perfectly fine. We'd love to meet there. We think that's where we're supposed to meet. So got another letter back. This time was from the lawyer of the school, and they said, nope, sorry, separation church and state. You can't meet at the at the school building for church. Well, we came back together. We're like, that doesn't make sense. We think God wants us to be there, right? So this time we took all of us, like 20 of us, to the school, and we circled up, and we literally laid hands on that building. We said, Lord, we believe you want us to be here, and God, you told us to pray for big things, bigger than what we could do on our own, and so we're going to believe that you can even do the impossible and move in the heart of the government. So we sent another letter requesting it, and I got a phone call from the superintendent, and he said, you're pretty persistent, aren't you? I said, well, sir, I said, we really believe this is where God wants us. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a six-month lease, and that's it. I said, okay, we'll take it. So we moved in with a six-month lease. We never asked to renew. They never asked us to renew, and 5.5 years later, we moved out. And the whole time, we just bragged on the miracle of God that God could move in the hearts to get us in that building. And it was such a wonderful partnership. Our hope was that when we left, they'd be sad that we left, and they were. We still partner with Cane Creek School. We still do teacher lunches, and if they need things, they give us a call. And so just one of the many, many miracles that God did for us. And then praying for God's favor that he would do bigger and mightier things we ever imagined was our goal. Ephesians 3:20, I'm going to put it up here on the screen. I want us to read this out loud. This was our marching orders when we started. We said, this is going to be our theme verse as a church. I want you to read this out loud along with me. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Now, I can ask pretty big. I mean, I can think of some pretty big things to ask of God. But I'm going to tell you, I never would have imagined where we're at today. I never had that kind of big vision like God has. But we began praying that. And when we moved into the school, we knew we couldn't be there forever. So sooner or later, we started praying that God would provide some land. And I went from Knoxville to Chattanooga on the interstate. And I saw the great big cross on the side of the road. And I actually did a turnaround at the next exit, came back to the cross there in Lenore City. And I just had a great prayer time for probably about 30 minutes and just said, Lord, if you'll give us land next to the interstate for free, we'll put one of those up to brag on how big you are. Now, be careful what you pray for, right? Because a couple of months later, I was driving between exit 286 and 287, saw this piece of property here, and it was a cornfield. And I thought, Lord, that would be a great place for a church building. So I turned back around, came up, and there wasn't even a driveway, a road, nothing. There was just this berm that you had to overcome to get up to this cornfield. And so I prayed, said, Lord, if you want us to have this place, you let me know. And I didn't get real serious about it, to be honest. And I did get serious enough, though, to call a realtor and ask her about another piece of property in town. And so she went and she called me up. She said, well, I'll tell you what, let me just bring everything that's in Cookeville. Let me just bring that to you to look at. I said, okay, that'd be great. And so she showed up in my office and she said, I don't know why they put this piece of property on the top of the stack. This is more land than you wanted and more money than you wanted to spend. I said, well, what piece of property is it? And it was this piece of property. And I said, well, don't throw that away just yet. I said, I've actually been to that piece of property and prayed. She said, well, I think this is a little bit more money than what you were talking about. I said, well, how much money is it? She said, $2.3 million. I was like, oh. She said, well, how much money do you have? Yeah, I laughed too inside. I said, well, we have nothing. And she said to me, she said, okay, well, how much do you have pledged? I said, nothing. And she said, so why am I here? I said, well, our church is praying for the land God's got for us. And we're asking him to show us where that is. And when we find it, then we're going to try to pray and ask him to show us how to figure out how to get it. She said, well, I'm a woman of faith. She said, I go to Trinity Assembly of God. She said, you tell me what you want to offer, I'll take it to them. I don't care. I said, well, awesome. That's great. And I said, we got nothing. I said, what if you go back and just ask if they'll, like, subdivide it because we don't need 75 acres. And she said, okay. So she called back, said, nope, they won't subdivide. I said, okay. So we went back to pray, and we're like, man, we really thought that was where we were supposed to be. I remember I got Brian and Steve and somebody else. We came, we walked this property, four of us. And we were like, wow, what a perfect campus for a church. We thought $2.3 million. I mean, that's just crazy. But God, if you're big enough, we'll pray. So then we got our Wednesday night group. We had about, I don't know, 50 folks coming out on Wednesday nights maybe at that time. And we brought everybody here on a Wednesday night. We said, let's pray. I'll never forget, I asked Elena Cameron. She's probably about 5 years old at that time. Because you get kids, listen, grandparents, tell me. If a five-year-old grandkid asks you for something, what do you say? Uh-huh. Right? It's like, can I have candy? Uh-huh. Can I have sugar? Uh-huh. Can I have a Mountain Dew? Uh-huh. You know, then you take it back to mom and dad, right? Right. So I'm like, if I get this five-year-old to pray, you know, I know God's heart's just going to be touched, right? So she gets up there. I'll never forget what she prayed. She said, dear Jesus, thank you for giving us this land for our church. Amen. I was like, you go, girl. You go. And short story, God allowed us to meet with the lady that owned the property. She loved Jesus, and she was willing to subdivide 24 acres for us. And she said, I'll do that. She said, but do you have the $225,000? I said, no, but God hasn't brought us this far to forget about us. And it was about a week and a half later, I don't know, a week later, somebody from outside the church called me up and said, I've heard what God's doing there in the church. Said, we'd like to buy that property and donate it to the church. Is that okay? I said, nope, I'm waiting for Jesus. Waiting for Jesus. I was like, yeah, go, God, go. We shared that with our 150 people that were coming, 250, I don't know. I mean, it was like the crowd just went crazy. It was like, our God is big. Our God is awesome. He can do everything, right? That's the first point in there. Our God is all powerful. Listen, folks, we don't serve a wimpy God. We don't serve a God that's broke. We don't serve a God that's scratching his head going, I don't know what we're going to do, angels. Looks like we're going to have to file bankruptcy this year. We don't. We serve a God that is all powerful. He can do all things. I was telling somebody the other day, we believe that God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And the other person says, you know what? I said, what? He said, he even owns the hills too. I was like, yeah, he does, doesn't he? And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's just ask God to speak to our hearts, to light us on fire and remind us how awesome he is this morning. Lord, you are all powerful. You can do anything. And Lord, our visions are so small, Lord. You want to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. And Lord, I think sometimes I can pray big prayers, but Lord, you're so much bigger than that. So I pray today that you'd speak through me, that you'd encourage everybody here, and we would leave here today understanding how amazing you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you got your listening guide, pull them out. We put one in every bulletin every week. And the first point is just what I said. Our God is all-powerful. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I went back and I asked the guys to kind of just tell me what all has God done in the last 15 years at the river since we started. They came up with over 700 people have followed the Lord and been baptized. Over 1,100 people have gone out on short-term missions around the world to serve God. And over 20 people have committed to long-term, 2 years or more, inside the United States in foreign missions. I just go, wow. Way to go, Jesus. Way to go. You go out here and you see our vision for the future. There's 5555. It's in the hallway as you go to leave today. Take a peek at that. That's been a vision about 7 years. And the first five is 5,000. We're praying for God to give us 5,000 disciples in Putnam County. Between the folks that meet on this campus and the churches we have planted and the churches we will continue to plant. And so we're about a third of the way there. So we just got to keep praying and keep telling our story like we talked about last week. Telling the story of what Jesus has done. Second five, the 500, is we want to see 500 churches started in Tennessee. So far, as a church, the Lord's allowed us to start 14 churches. And then we started a network to start churches. And that network combined with us have started about 30 churches. And so we believe that God's going to give us 500. There's approximately 500 towns of 500 people or more in our state. No, it's 1,000 or more. So there's 500. So our goal is let's put one in every city or state. And if there's a couple of extras that wind up in Nashville and Knoxville, that's okay. Those are big cities, right? And then 50. We want to see one church planted in each state. And our missions pastor, I love his vision. He said, let's start with the hardest ones first. So he went and found statistics of the least church states in America, and he started there with Alaska, and then went to Vermont, and then kept going from the top. And then five nations to impact. This year alone, in the last 12 months, we've had people in India, Guatemala, Central Asia, and multiple other countries. International students at Tech, we love them. We want to love them and make them feel welcome here. And these are just some of the miracles that God has done that we can brag on him for. But we've got to pray big prayers. We've got to ask God, what does God want to do? Can we believe him for the future? Can we believe him for things bigger than what we could do? Can we believe him to bring healings? I've seen people healed of cancer. I've seen people healed of leukemia. I've seen people healed of some crazy big things. I wish I saw God heal everybody every time. I haven't. But I have seen the promise that all of us will find healing one day when we enter that kingdom of heaven. All sorrow, all pain will all pass away. Well, one, God's all power. Second thing I want you to see is our God brings abundant life. Our God brings abundant life. I don't believe God saves us just so we can survive. I don't think God saves us just so we can exist and fill pews. If that was the case, why didn't God just, as soon as we get saved, just zap us into heaven? It's because God's got a mission for us here. He's got a mission for everybody in this room that we tell our story so that other people can discover him and his love. And as we look at him, we realize that he offers abundant life to all. Now, when we started the church, we're trying to come up with a name. And we went door to door and asked over 1,000 people why most people in Putnam County don't go to church. I was shocked at the number one answer. I thought the number one answer would be I've never been invited, or I've been hurt by a church, or I just don't know of a good one, or whatever. But the number one answer why people didn't go to church was they said they didn't have the right clothes to wear. At that point, I said, you know what? I'm going to change the way I think. Believe it or not, those that didn't know me before the river, when I was in California, I preached in khakis and button down all the time. I may have preached twice in blue jeans, and just that was just too much of a stretch for me. But when I found out that the number one reason people didn't go to church was because they didn't have the right clothes to wear, we said, you know what? Everybody's got a pair of blue jeans. So we're just going to put it on every flyer, just wear your jeans, we do. And there's been so many folks that have come through the door and said, thank you for putting that on there. My husband would never come to church with me because he wouldn't wear a tie. But now that he could wear jeans, I told him he didn't have any more excuses. And that was just my wife. No, just kidding. But seriously, something that seems so small. So when we started trying to come up with a name for the church, my first thought was we should name it Blue Jean Baptist, right? Yeah, that's what my wife, she laughed too. She's like, no, no. And so we began praying for a name. And it was between Celebration Church and the River Church, or Celebration Community Church and the River Community Church, because we wanted the word community in there so that everybody knew that everybody in this community was invited. And so as we were praying about that, I came across Ezekiel 47:9, it's on the screen up here, says this, it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. That's been our vision from the beginning. Wherever the river goes, there's going to be life. This came from a vision that Ezekiel had that God gave him of a river of life coming out of the temple of God. And the further it went, the deeper it got, and the more life was in it. And that's our vision. You are the river. Okay, wherever you go in town, you're part of the river, and you can bring the life through Jesus Christ. at your work, at your place of employment, where you go to school, where you like to play. If you take the love of Jesus with you, you can bring this river of life to other people and help them find the hope and the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's up to you and me to do that. It's up to us to be that hands and feet. It's up to us to let people know that there is abundant life waiting. Now, it's not a perfect life. If you're like me, I haven't lived a perfect life. I wish that after I got saved that I didn't sin anymore. Anybody else wish that? Sometimes I just wish I didn't sin every day. You know, it's like, oh, man. Then sometimes I think, look, I went 24 hours without sinning. Yes. Oh, that's pride. Oh, you know, it's like, I've just learned this. I need Jesus every day. I need him. He has saved my soul. He set me free, and he's given me abundant life, and he offers that to everybody. Now, we got two pictures here, okay? Over here on my left is a picture that was made at our five-year anniversary. At our five-year anniversary, we invited people to fill out little cards of paper. You see the cards in your seats? There's cards in front of everybody. Go ahead and pull those out, because we're going to do this again on our 15th anniversary. Should be a pen there. And I want you just to write real short what Jesus has done in your life. Okay? Now, here's a couple. It says, because of the river, I was able to see how God is real. God, through my son's faith, allowed me to rededicate my life and be rebaptized. How cool is that? This one says, God has come into my life and removed the desire to use alcohol and drugs of addiction of 22 years. This one says, me and my family, my two teenage daughters are in church, growing in Christ. This one says, the Lord has helped my lonely and selfish body become deeply loved by him, by my wonderful husband, by my loving church body. So many of these are just testimonies of what Jesus did in their lives in those 5 years. So today you get to be a part of history. You can write that down, and this is the next one. This is going to be for our 15th anniversary. And we're going to put them on this one, this cross here, and we'll put it in this collage. And we've already talked about the fact that there'll be way too many just to fit in this, so we're going to build a separate one on each side to include all the testimonies of what God has done. And you can put your name on it if you like, and then you'll be able to find it on there in the future. But we just want to brag on God. We want the whole world to know how faithful he is. At the end of the service, I'm going to give you a chance to bring those forward, and we're going to just pour them all over the top of the stage. At the end of first service, it was a powerful moment as we got to see, and I picked up a couple of them and just read them out loud, and it was like, wow, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. So I want you to know that God has come to give us abundant life. And then the third thing, our God invites all to come to his party. Our God invites all to come to his party. The song says, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. I would say to you, whether you're libertarian, Democrat, Republican, whether you're black, white, North American, South American, legal, illegal, whatever it is, God has a place for everybody in his family. He opens his arms to all. He gives us a great story in the book of Matthew. If you got your Bibles, pull that out. If not, the Burgundy Bibles are in front of you. Matthew 22, page 820 in the Burgundy Bible. In this story, Jesus tells, it's the story of the kingdom of God and how God invites everybody to his party. You see, he could have used the example of something that was very discouraging and depressing. But instead, he used the example of God inviting people to a wedding party. Now, you got to understand that the wedding party of the Jews was the one thing they saved up all their lives for to celebrate. It was a big deal. It was a big deal to the poor people. It was a big deal to the middle class, big deal to the rich. And the party would go on as long as you could afford it. And so it was almost like a way to brag about how rich you were. So sometimes a king's party would last a week, a month. They have some recorded that even lasted over 12 months, celebrating the marriage of their children, okay? Now, in these parties that they would have, if the king gave the party, oftentimes the king would give everyone a set of clothes to come to the party. Now, why is that? Well, because the everyday peasant didn't have clothes that was worthy of a party. And so instead of having people come in and look poor and shabby, the king didn't want that. Would that look bad on him as the king? Everyone would get a new set of clothes when they came in that the king would give them. Okay? So as Jesus is telling this story to them, understand that the Jewish people would have understood that this was what he's talking about when he's talking about this wedding feast. Not like our weddings where we go in and, you know, we want to be the preacher to be done in 30 minutes and the I do's and get some cake and then hit the road. I mean, these folks would take days to celebrate. So, Matthew 22. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened calves have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn the town. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a good sign for me. There's a place at the table for me, right? Good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guest, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you're here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet, throw him into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So I'd say to you today, some are too busy for God, just like the folks in this story. You ever been there? Where life's just so busy and you got school, you got life, you got marriage, you got kids, you got sports, you got whatever it is, and it's like so busy, it's like I just don't really have time to give God time of day. That was the story of some of these folks. Others of them went back to their farms, some went back to their business. You know, I've just got too much work to do. Got to go to work, got to go to work, got to go to work. Others can put family in front of Jesus. Others can just put their own fleshly desires and selfishness in front of Jesus. In the story, Jesus says that the invitation was given to all, but only some took him up on it. And then there's this one guy that shows up without the right clothes on. Now, why would he not have the right clothes on? The king gives the right clothes to everybody. Why would he not have the right clothes on? Because he wanted to get in with his own clothes. I don't know why. But I believe the parallel in the story is this. Some of us try to get to heaven on our own good deeds. We try to wear our own good deeds and think God owes us heaven. I've been a good person. And of course, who do we always compare ourselves to? Hitler, Mussolini, right? It's like, I'm better than that Hitler guy. Well, boy, you're grading on a big curve there, aren't you? You know? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'll know I'll go to heaven because I've been a good person. I'm much better than that Mother Teresa and Billy Graham. Nobody ever uses them as examples, do they? Here's what I would tell you. We're not graded on the curve. We're graded on the cross. The cross is where we find hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus went and he took the sins of the world upon him on the cross. He took the sins of the world to forgive us and set us free from our past, set us free from our defeat, set us free from our fear, set us free from our sin. That's how we are set free. Not because we deserve it, not because we have the right clothes. We got people who are coming now to share their testimony. You guys come on and line up. You're going to get to hear the story today of people's lives who've been changed. And I know public speaking is like the number one fear in America. Do you know that? I mean, when fears are listed, it's like at the top. And so we're going to do a way of doing testimonies today. It's called cardboard testimonies. And these are real life people. Like the commercial says, these are not actors, right? Okay, these are folks from within our body who've had their lives changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And they're going to come and they're going to present their stories to you by way of what they've written on a piece of cardboard. And you'll kind of, you get to see the before Christ and the after Christ. And so that's what they're coming to do. You guys, come on. That was pretty good. When anybody asks you, do you believe in miracles, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I just want to lift up a word of prayer for these guys. It took a lot of guts to get on stage and share their story with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for rescuing us. Lord, there could be 400 more of us with these posters up here sharing things that you've done in our lives. And Lord, we bring all this as a praise offering to you now, Lord. You're the healer, Lord. You're the forgiver. You're the mercy giver. You're the one that loves us when we don't deserve it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these testimonies. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to have us share our stories all throughout this next week to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Now, let me tell you, it all starts with a decision on your part. In the story of the wedding feast, people were given a choice to come to the party or stay at home. That was the choice that was given. You can come to the party or you can stay at home. Some people chose to stay at home. Some people chose to came to the party. It made all the difference. For these folks that stood on stage, they all walked through the same trouble that we walked through, and they were all given a choice. Will you turn it over to God, or will you try to do it on your own? Will you trust Him to deliver you and set you free? Or are you going to try to carry the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the wounded heart on your own? Listen, I don't know your reason for waiting to give your life to Christ if you've not yet done so. I would just implore you not to wait any longer. I would just say to you that the walk with Christ isn't easy, but it is wonderful. It truly is the abundant life. And not only that, but you get plugged into a church body, a family of believers that will lock arms with you and walk through those times with you. To walk through the times of struggling with cancer, leukemia, death of a loved one. What are you waiting for? What is your holdback? We're going to have a time of invitation now. And what we're going to do is I'm going to invite everybody to come and just cover the front of this with your praises that you wrote down. And while they're coming, I'm also going to be right here in the middle. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do that today, I'm going to be right down front here with some other counselors. They'll be glad to pray with you and encourage you. Or if you need someone to pray with you, I've got folks lined up right here that will pray with you for whatever you're walking through this morning. So I'm going to ask everybody, if you would, to go ahead and stand with me. Jimmy's going to play a song while we're singing. And I'm going to invite everybody to come forward. And also, we've got some kneelers up here now that, for those that the stage was a little too tall to pray at, we've got some kneelers on both sides. If you'd like to come and just pray and intercede for those that don't yet know the Lord, or if you need to bring something before the Lord in that way. But there's something kind of powerful about bringing something to God. There's something powerful about actually having to get out of your seat and bring something to the Lord. So we're going to give you time. We're not in a hurry. We know there's a lot of people in here. Doesn't have to be like, you know, Black Friday where you're just fighting to get to the front, okay? It's going to be like Jesus Sunday where we got His time. You just come on forward. And we invite everybody to come forward and put that, give that to the Lord. And if you need to pray with somebody, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want to invite you to do that. I'll be right down front waiting to talk to whomever that would be. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for another 15 years. Are you ready? Tell you what, I'm ready. Ready. Listen, I was going to pick a couple of these up. I want you to hear just from people, right? And the river has given me a place to connect with God and friends to help me heal and heal from a failed marriage. Amen. The Lord has enriched my life and the lives around me. And has also kept me from destroying myself. Praise God. Lord has provided the river to be a loving, faithful, and amazing place to raise our family in their youth. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your testimonies today. We're going to take these. We're going to put them all over. And you'll be able to read everybody's stories. And when people say to you this week, oh, I don't think there is a God, you just say, I've got 300 reasons there is. And you could just tell Him how big God is and carry this with you throughout the week.